Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Scorpio's Talking. Today is October 26, 2017. I'm Ann Ortley. I'm the astrologer, and I'm Scorpio by progression. And I'm out here in Vegas, finishing up the last day of my vacation, flying home today. And I'm joined by my buddy, Michael. Michael, where are you?
I'm in Hudson, New York. And I'm a psychotherapist here in Hudson and in New York City.
Yeah, and we do Scorpio's Talking every week to talk about what's going on. And right now, the sun went into Scorpio this week. So we're in the beginning of Scorpio today. Sun and Jupiter meet. This is the really big lucky day that happens every year when the sun and Jupiter connect. So everybody buy a lottery ticket. You don't have to buy a lot, just buy one. Because if you're going to win, you're going to win with one ticket. And Michael has a birthday coming up. So he's in the two-week approach. Yeah, you're in the two-week approach when the energy is at the lowest.
It is.
Your solar. I know. You were saying you weren't feeling up, weren't feeling a little under the weather. So what happens in the 2 weeks before your birthday, and we're all going to sing happy birthday to Michael in a second, led by me. In the 2 weeks before your birthday is a physical low. And so you can really feel sick. You've got a little flu virus thing and can feel a little depressed because you're at the lowest ebb of the sun for, you know, before it replenishes on your birthday. So after Sunday, a whole new year begins. And I'm guessing you're ready to kick this last year goodbye because this has not been one of your favorite years.
No, it's been honest horribilis.
Yes, as the queen would say. That's a horrible year. And it's done in 3 days, 4 days. That's good. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Michael. Happy birthday to you. I'm not a very good singer.
Thank you.
But I make up for it in enthusiasm. So, yeah, so this week, Scorpio, we're going to get the Kennedy tapes released today. How exciting is that? That would be something Trump did that was good. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just triggering more PTSD, I think.
Oh, is it? Okay.
When I was, like, the first time I ever felt safe ever in my entire life was I was with my mother and my grandmother, and he was campaigning, and it was even beyond, before anybody had heard of him. And I was getting trampled. It was outside at a shopping area, and in Wisconsin. And he said, "Who's crying?" And he picked me up and gave his speech. And I felt completely safe from then on. Like, I mean, I had a real experience of what it feels like to feel safe.
Wow.
He was quite something. Huh?
Because he helped you?
Yeah, he held me while I was in his arms while he gave his thing.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty cool, Michael.
Yeah. And maybe like six. I mean, I was maybe 58.
Old enough to know who he was.
I don't know. It doesn't add up. I don't know how many years before 60 it was, but it was way before.
Okay.
Nobody knew who he was. I mean, I certainly didn't. And there was no, you know, campaign yet. It was like an exploratory thing.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, your mom was there.
We happened to be shopping, and there was a crowd, so we walked to see what it was.
Oh, okay.
But it was like an out, you know, it was a, my father helped create a bank, and it was in the shopping center where this was. But so it was all outdoors, like a strip place. And the crowd did not spill over the sidewalk. I mean, it was small little, you know, like 20 people or 30 people at tops. So it was very, very early, and there was no protection or anything.
Right. He was just a guy, and he held you, and you felt safe. Wow.
I felt
cool.
Totally, like, it was a completely different kind of energy than I'd ever experienced before.
Right. Well, I can remember, you know, when he died, everybody crying. That was.
I remember every second of it.
Yeah, very, very
big.
That's
part of PTSD for me.
Well,
yeah, it's that I can go back and break things down minute by relive each minute of something.
Mm-hmm.
We were studying Greek gods, and I remember we were we did an art project that afternoon. So I did this whole Valentino dress goddess, you know, in watercolor.
Mm-hmm.
I still have it. Then we went home, and I went upstairs to my room, and I got behind a big chair in my bedroom and just zoned out and then started laughing. And they found me 5 hours later laughing hysterically.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. Mm. I don't want to take everybody through each minute of it, but it went on for, there were all these things I saw over the weekend with adults that I'd never seen before them do stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it was really disconcerting to have the adults set upset. Very disconcerting.
Yep.
But yeah, well, your birthday's coming. So what are you going to do? Anything fun?
I'm going to have dinner with my daughter and our friend
mm-hmm.
Marilyn.
Okay.
I'm going to see patients in the afternoon, a patient at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I may choose to go back in the city on Saturday because it's supposed to be raining and cold. And I thought rather than navigate everything in that, maybe I'll take the train Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. And be back in the city for Sunday. Yeah,
yeah, just because it's going to be shitty weather and why then I won't have to travel and get wet. And
right. Yeah. Yeah, I heard it drop. The temperature's dropping. I'm here. I'm going to go to the pool in a couple minutes, and then I fly back today from Vegas. So.
Well, but dropping, dropping is nothing to worry about. It's like, you know, it's the coldest it's been today. And I'm wearing a T-shirt. I don't think I have to put a sweatshirt on over it.
Wow. Wow.
It's still, you know.
Are the leaves finally changing?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And it poured, really poured the other night. So a lot of things fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very odd, that fall was quite odd here.
Because
some things are still green and other things are gone. So it depended
mm-hmm.
on the kind of tree.
What kind
you know,
of
it
tree
wasn't
of
like
tree?
Full of color. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it wasn't the color year. Yeah, it was kind of odd, actually. It was an odd year. But, yeah. So.
But I'm staring at a tree. I'm staring at the top
mm-hmm.
of a tree right now. Look, that's right outside of my bedroom window. And
mm-hmm.
it's. Some of it is red and yellow, but a lot of it is green, and then some of it's gone.
Right.
So it's as chaotic as the rest of the planet.
The world is a little chaotic, right? Yeah, I've been finding it's been very chaotic. You know, it's an interesting energy, and it really has a whole you know, Jupiter and Scorpio. With the sun now, when sun went into it on Monday, it added a level of intensity. But it just kind of amps, you know. People are a little more emotional too, I think, which is interesting. You know, it's kind of finding that emotions, right?
Yeah.
Or working with them, yeah. What have you been seeing in your world? I mean, I've been at an astrology conference, so we've had, you know, a bunch of astrologers, which are a lot of intuitives, but also a lot of people that are pretty iconoclastic or pretty much this is the way it's going to be, kind of, you know.
Yeah, what are they saying?
Well, it's been a little bouncing off the wall, you know. Like, people have been, you know, some things have been really fun and other things have been a little kind of like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? So it's kind of a, it's a couple of people had explosions and kind of blew up and left. Other people were, you know, totally fine and kind of showed up in ways you didn't anticipate.
Blew up
so
and left?
It's been a little odd. Huh? Pardon?
They blew up and walked out?
Yeah, blew up and walked out. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I wish I could do that once.
You know, wouldn't it be nice to be able to blow up and not have to be responsible?
I couldn't even do that when I was a little kid.
Yeah. Well, it's when you were having that Carrie video playing in your head. There's certain something to be said for that, you know.
Yep.
So, I know in my world here, you know, some of the people that blew up were a little shocking. You were kind of like, really, they blew up. And it was kind of like, wow, I wouldn't have expected that from them. That said, you know, they were really pretty pissed off about stuff, and that was it. They were done. Drop the mic. You know, they're out of there. So, but it is, you know, I don't have a TV at home. So out here, Rachel Maddow's on at 10, so I've been catching up on my political news a little bit. And also, I just think it's kind of a time of people wanting to maybe be a little more retreative, you know, not be out in the world quite so much, and being forced to be out sometimes because of what you have to do. But then the minute it's over, wanting to scurry back into wherever you're from. So that's been interesting too, you know, kind of go out and then disappear. Not a lot of extra energy. So
no.
Yeah. And we went to, we finished the conference. I have a group of women that I travel with after conferences. We went to a spa, which was really lovely. So I had a couple of massages. What are you doing? You're banging around.
Oh, I'm walking downstairs. Sorry.
Oh, okay, cool. It's like bang, bang, bang. Normally you're quiet. Okay, well, you can definitely walk downstairs. No
I
worries.
Did. I'm done now. I ran out of
you're
stairs.
That's good. It was like, what's he doing there? He's cleaning his desk? Or?
No.
Throwing the books on the floor. No.
No, I was. I'm interested in more coffee, so I came downstairs.
That's a good plan. Yeah, more coffee things and then center part of these things. So, any insights in terms of what you've been running into with your clients in terms of the energy of the week and how to work with it? There's the microwave.
No. Yeah, really. No, I don't. I've questioned, because I'm at such a very specific place that I've tried to work very, very, very hard to not bring that forward.
Yep.
Interestingly, all the couples I'm seeing, I asked to see one of the members alone this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because hold on one second. Give me one second. Rachel just
texted.
Yes. She just had a very important interview, a second round, and she just said she thinks it went well.
Good. Yay.
Okay. But they didn't say anything. We'll see. Mm-hmm. She did her best.
Yep. Good.
So I don't usually do that, but I chose to see one member of the couple alone.
Mhm. Mm-hmm.
And am kind of going to read the Riot Act. I've already done two, and I'll do it with the third.
Mhm.
And the essence of it is that while I am profoundly both empathetic and sympathetic to where they're at, the fact remains that here is how things are. And if they're spending all their energy going, they shouldn't be here.
Right.
They're going to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
because they're giving all of their power away, having a problem with things being where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody agrees that they shouldn't be where they are, but it's like, this is where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you acknowledge where things are, then you don't have to spend any energy with that, and you can spend all of your energy going, so what power do I have to create what kinds of shifts given that I'm not thrilled with things being here?
Right.
Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do I apply myself? How do I change what?
What are my options to make things different? Like,
mm-hmm.
this is what's
mm-hmm.
happening. What is now available to me?
Mm-hmm.
What's the best choice, considering what my
mm-hmm.
choices are?
Right.
And, yes, it's absolutely, I understand that this is not where you would want them to be. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not here because you fucked up. And they're not here because your partner fucked up. This is just where they are.
Right. And then, and how has the reaction been to giving the riot
good.
Attack red?
To seeing that?
Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know that people are going, oh, my God, you're a miracle worker. but these are all really, really, really smart people. And
mm-hmm.
I think that it is, we'll see what happens.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know.
What they choose to do with the information. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I can give you a concrete, because maybe this is useful to people. It's like one person, a couple work together. They have a business.
Mm-hmm.
And one person
yeah.
hates it. Hates
mm-hmm.
it. And it is actually impossible to get help that they need. And that is accurate in Columbia County. It is almost impossible to get help
mm-hmm.
that you can rely
mm-hmm.
upon. So that member of the couple hates being in the situation that they find themselves in. And that takes up a lot of space. So the other member of the
yes.
couple feels responsible to shoulder a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw the second person by himself
mm-hmm.
last week, I realized he's not any happier with the situation than his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were able to have a conversation going, look, this is not necessarily what either of us want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And have it not be devolve into a situation where either whose fault is it or we need to fix it this minute, it can be the beginning of an exploring process, because these are both capable people, to what might we substitute.
Right. Mm-hmm. What could we, yeah. But because he's picking up all the extra work and she's unhappy, they're not.
Well, I mean, he's not doing, he's feeling uber responsible. She's certainly
right.
doing the best she can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not going, she's not acting out like I'm not doing it.
Right. But also unhappy with it. Yeah.
Very. And for good reason.
Yeah.
So they've got,
yeah.
but there's no room for her to take in. She's got a partner in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then they together can come up with an alternative over time, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than feeling like she's stuck and then feeling bad about
right.
feeling so bad about it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, the feeling stuck part. there are a lot of planets that are, they're not, it's not that they're not moving, they're kind of moving, they're kind of bumping up against each other. So they're not making it feel like there's necessarily a forward motion. They're making it feel more like there's an observation going on, right? So
yeah, I mean, my experience is I've run out of capacity to have certain experiences. And I think in the past that would have made me very depressed. And this time, I'm not using it as a complaint. I'm using it as an observation. I have run out of capacity to have certain experiences.
Right.
So I went, well, so what can I do about that? Because there's something like specific coming up. And I just sit with, what can I do about that? And for me, the first thing that was important was I realized that I was trying to control an outcome. Like it was extremely important to me that what I have to add to the mix gets seen so it can get added in so that the outcome that I want can happen. And there's no guarantee. There are too many players. And I've been through this before, which is why I'm so, like, I get that it's important. So I just stepped back and I went, if the most important thing is to not have this experience, don't have it. There are a lot of other people who I'm paying to have it. So I talked to one and said, this is my concern, you know, that this piece is understood. Otherwise, you're sending in the head, the general, without any insight. About the culture of the country that they're invading. And it would be helpful, you know.
If they knew that, yeah. It makes all the difference in the world. Because you're a general invading, so you better know who you're invading.
Or what the, not even what the culture of the place is.
Well, because that's going to happen after the invasion's over. You're in there, and you got to be able to talk to them.
In there. That after it's over, all those people will be gone. I will be living with the results. Yes. I'll be left with, that's the problem. You know, that's why I'm not a fan of mediation at all. I think mediation is often profoundly flawed. In all family things, it is irresponsible. I think clinical mediation, which is different, where you have somebody with both clinical and legal experience who brings people to a hypothesis of what might work, and then you send them away to live it with a date to come back in a month or two or three and report what part of this worked and what part of this didn't. And you keep working on it so that it's something alive that it's a win-win. Otherwise, in relationships, it's really fucked up, and usually children are the ones who suffer. But in the thing I'm talking about, the last one of these was, there was a mediation in Gene's company where there was a new regime, and they just got rid of Gene and his partner now and the whole motion picture department. And Gene, it was forced into mediation, which shouldn't have been. So they did not honor his contract. And the mediator had absolutely no experience in Gene's business, and Gene's clients were of a caliber where there were only three possible places on the planet where they could be housed. The other agencies were not of a caliber that could support that kind of client. And one of them was out, not even under consideration, because at the time they did not like gay people. And the other, although now they do, and then the other two were run by sociopaths, basically. So Gene and his partner went and met them, and Gene went, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. And he and his partner decided to quit being agents and become managers so that they got rid of all of that toxic corporate stuff. And but the mediator didn't understand that there were only three and said that, and that Gene had to find a solution within 30 days or clients would leave. And he said, well, you didn't spend enough time looking at all agencies. Well, he didn't understand the business. So, but he got to make the decision. So he just went, they don't have to honor the contract.
Wow. Wow.
So that's been my experience all along. The same thing happened with Rachel's adoption, except that I went, fuck you, and won. Because I,
right.
After we were turned down, I just went nuclear and turned the whole thing around.
Right.
And the same thing when Gene was sick, I went nuclear. So I'm okay and able to do it for my loved ones, but not so much for myself, and this time I have to.
Yeah. Well, this time it's important to do it for yourself. Yeah.
Yes. I'm trying my best.
Well, and that's all we can ask, but it is important. And it's saying, okay, you know, what is it that, you know, it's also a part of the whole ending process with Gene.
Yep.
You know, that's, you know, as you wrap up what, you know, his business needs to be and kind of figure out what you're, where you're going with it.
Yeah.
But it also is, from your point of view, what is the, what makes you feel okay, you know?
Nothing.
I mean, I know.
No, but that's the point of where we started this conversation, is that when people feel like they're in this place,
yes,
it doesn't feel like it's possible to identify anything that might feel better.
Right.
And that's because my awareness stretches only to what has already been experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel worn out.
Mm-hmm.
So something that's going to make me feel better is something that I have yet to experience.
Right.
It hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. And it may make me feel much better, but I have absolutely no idea what it's going to be.
Right.
So the main thing is to get people not to give up because they look at their present and see more of their past in their future.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, especially because we haven't had it happen yet. We don't know what it could be.
Yeah. Catherine Wilbur Thomas, who created Calling in the One, used to say, you know, each morning step out of your door and go, I'm stepping into the future. Anything can happen.
Right. Right.
Like, don't reference your future from your past. Past is over.
Right. Past is over. Past is in the back. Yeah, totally. And not look back at it and think that has to be the future.
Right. You know? And whenever I go, well, yeah, that's all just talk. I just look at how much bigger my ears are than they were 10 years ago. Nobody told me that was going to happen.
Yeah, ears, hands, and feet, they all grow. Too much cartilage. Nose, too, Michael, nose.
Yeah.
All the cartilage parts of the body.
Yeah. So that's the last thing I was expecting.
Can you imagine how big Barack Obama's ears are going to get?
Big
ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, the British lady said we have 90 seconds. So the week ahead is full of releases, the weekend at least, Saturday, Sunday, because the moon is coming to the node of fate, saying, okay, that's done. So next week we enter the week kind of in a releasing mode and then shift quickly forward into fast energy. So it'll be interesting. The beginning of the week is release. So watch for letting go of things and ending relationships and saying goodbye. We're done with that. And then it goes 90 miles an hour as of Wednesday. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, so it's good. So, and the British lady said we're done, so we'll hang out.
Okay, and next week, Anne, I'll be in the city.
Okay, cool. I'll be in the city, too. I fly back
tonight.
I know, I'm excited. I'm going to go by the pool in about an hour and a half. It doesn't open until 9. I'm awake. I'm ready to go to the pool now.
Should we aim for 9 or 10?
Yeah, I'm up. I've been waking up early, so we can definitely
do 9. All right, so then let's aim for 9. Okay.
All right. So we
take care, everybody.
Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you.